Inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame with outstanding performance, it's Lou Epton.
All right, back we are, 26 in front of the hour. Lou Epton here with you on AM 1230 KLAV. We're coming away out of Las Vegas, Nevada. As promised, our very special guest this morning, Jordan Maxwell. Jordan Maxwell, good morning. Welcome aboard.
Good morning, Lou.
How are you doing?
Well, I think okay.
Okay, now I didn't get any faxes overnight.
I know that. You know, I did two radio shows yesterday and last night late, and I had to be running to studios and all that kind of thing, so I didn't get a chance to get any information to you.
What do you do in your spare time?
I fulfill orders.
I understand that. By the way, as you know, and I'm sure you're aware, you got a great many fans that listen to this program. And when I told them that today we were going to start out talking about the men in black, I think we piqued their interest. So let's not keep them waiting too much longer. What is there about these people in black?
Well, that's, I think, from my perspective, I think the whole idea of men in black implies something even much deeper than just the UFO connection. Movies have been made about the men in black.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about all the different kinds of people that wear black and as an official color. Like the Nazis had the Gestapo were the men in black. Their color was black. And what are we talking about? Black is a color that was associated with the planet Saturn. And the priests of Saturn wore black robes, and we've talked about that before.
Well, wait, I thought Saturn, what was the red planet?
The red one was Mars.
Ah, okay, thank you. The black one, then, you're right.
Yeah, was Saturn. And then, of course, the green one was Venus. Venus, for some reason, was given the official color of green. This is why in the Islamic world you have the green flags and green colors.
Hmm.
And because Islam is very heavily connected to the planet Venus. And yet they have incorporated some of the Saturnalian worship too in Islam, because the square, the black square in Mecca, is actually the symbol for the planet Saturn in the Arabic world. And so many people who, you know, who make their pilgrimages to Mecca and hold Mecca to be so holy and do not realize that that black square in Mecca, which is the holiest spot on the earth for Islam, actually represents the planet Saturn. And, you know, this is, as I said before, this is why you wear a black square mortarboard when you graduate from university. It's the same concept of the black square. And the Nazis, as I said, they had a whole division of ruthless murderers called the Gestapo, and they wore black. And they were referred to in their beginnings, they were called the Black Sun Organization, or the Black Sun Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Later they became officially known as Gestapo. Black Sun is a term, if you look it up in the dictionary and reference work, is the planet Saturn. So I'm saying that there is an occult or a hidden significance to both the color black and people who wear black officially, such as judges, priests, and the Catholic priest, of course, wears black robes.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting when you, if you're ordering a black robe that the priest of the Catholic Church wears, the name of that robe, the black robe that the priest wears, if you're ordering it in a catalog, it's called the Geneva robe, because it's representing something very, very interesting. Geneva, of course, is the city of banks in Switzerland.
Yeah.
This is why the Pope has a Swiss guard. The banks are guarding the boss. And our UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, Maritime Admiralty Law, can be traced all the way back into ancient history, and especially was in existence today in our world, maritime law, based on the Vatican canon law. So the Vatican is very much connected to international banking behind the scenes. The priests wear the robe of Geneva. You know, there's a world of connections in the occult or dark side that most people are just not aware of. I mean, Nazism, Islam, all of these major isms in the world came from somewhere. Their symbols mean something.
Well, now, you've done extensive research into all of the various religions. How old is the religion known as Islam?
Very recent. Very, very recent. Far more recent than we are even given to understand about Islam. We are assuming it was back in the Middle Ages, but it's even more earlier, I mean, later than that, I should say. And there are some excellent books out, reference books, which tell you exactly when the religion first came about, who did it. The Catholic Church was extremely instrumental in starting or in forming what we call Islam today. The
really?
Catholic Church, yeah, I think that the Jesuits were very instrumental in forming for the Arabic world that which is called Islam. I am just amazed at how much information, actual documentation and reference books on the subject. And no one seems to, no one seems to have read the books I've read. They're everywhere.
I understand, but you've got how many years research in
40. I was doing this back in 1959.
Wow.
And, I think the Jesuits are very, very, the Catholic Jesuit movement, I think, is very instrumental in starting different religious organizations around the world. For their devious and dark and sinister, I would say insidious reasons. Islam is just one of many things which the Catholic Church has been involved in. It's a very big story. When you get into religion and its connections to government, it becomes very obvious that governments have always relied on institutional religion to bolster its power.
Well, now, this isn't anything against the people practicing Catholicism today. And I just want to make that point.
And let me make it, too, because my mother and father and my family and all of my family were Catholic. And, I'm not condemning the people. I'm talking about institutions and concepts and ideas. I'm not talking about the people at all.
Well, exactly, where do the Jesuits fit in? And forgive me if I'm naive, because I'm not as well schooled in religion. Where do the Jesuits fit into the overall Catholic faith?
Well, the Jesuits were a military, Ignatius Loyola, the founder of what we call the Jesuits today, was a very, very extremely militant thinking priest. And he basically was unimpressed with the concept of going out and making disciples, etc. His idea was a little bit more business-like. Go out and bust heads.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And, let's get this thing organized. And, it sounds wonderful to go out and make disciples, but the church is a actual organization, and the hard, cold realities of life is that if you are a Christian or if you are a person that loves the Lord, you're not going anywhere in this world. You've got to take the sword and cut a few heads off. That was the whole idea of the Jesuits, is to become a military order. And of course, I'm sure he got much of his thinking from the Templars, which were the Knights Templars, which were a military order within the church. And so much of our military is based on the Jesuits, and a lot of our military terms that we use in the military is based on the Knights Templars of the 9th and 10th century. You know, they had their generals and their corporals and their underlings were called soldiers, taken from the Latin S-O-L, Sol.
Yeah.
So they were workers of the sun or fighters for the sun. They were fighters for the enlightened masters are what we today refer to as the Illuminati.
Yeah.
So the Illuminati was a name that was originally, the first time we ever come across the name Illuminati in the way that we use it today is the Jesuits. Of course, the that term has become loosely used all around, you know, talking about different organizations.
Uh-huh.
But it was first Jesuits. So I'm just saying that I think that there is a whole insidious and dark side to world governments, religion, terms, words, symbols, that needs to be aired out. I think it'd be great to have this kind of stuff brought out into public view, and let's see who these people really are. Who give us the black square when we graduate? Who gives us that idea? When we graduate, why do we wear a robe? You know why? And well, because you're getting a degree. You're getting a degree from college, which is the same degree that you get in court. You get the third degree in court.
So, yeah.
And these words and terms. Why do we use the word degree?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's fascinated me for years.
I can tell. How long? Just, you know, you stop and think about it. Now that you brought it up, I've got to ask, for how long have we been wearing mortarboards and robes when we graduate college?
Well, I've got pictures and articles going back to the earliest English Empire, back in the Middle Ages, around the 10th century, 11th and 12th century. There are lots of drawings and paintings. And incidentally, that black square mortarboard is a Catholic symbol.
Really?
It is used in the. It was used by Catholic theologians, and so anytime you or your children go to college or university and wear the black mortarboard, just know that this has to do with many things: one, Catholic; two, Saturn; three, occultism and the dark side of Freemasonry. It's a very sinister and, you know, frightening implications when you start tracing back the things that we use every day. I mean, we use poison. We use poisons every day and don't seem to really be bothered much about it. You know, we just transport nuclear stuff and poisons and guns and all kinds of things, never realizing, taking into consideration how really dangerous and deadly some of the stuff we use every day, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And toxic chemicals, etc. Well, you know, I have a term I use in my lectures, toxic religion. There are toxic terms that we use, and all of this, it bothered me many, many years ago, all of this, because there's a scripture that says the only way that you can come before God is in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. The only way you're going to deal with the divine in this universe is spiritually and in truth. Anything less than that is just a religion. And incidentally, I can explain to you very simply the difference between, a lot of people don't know the difference between theology and mythology.
All right, we're going to ask you to do exactly that in just a little bit. Right now, we're going to ask you to hold up while we do a quick timeout. Fair enough? Lou Epton with Jordan Maxwell this morning, right here from AM 1230 KLAV, coming your way out of Las Vegas, Nevada, 7311230, and if you're far away, the area is 702. Todd, be patient. You will be first up when we take calls. Right now, let's all hear the following so we can come right back. 48, but shh, don't tell your doctor. He probably doesn't even want to know.
Exposing the truth, uncovering the fraud in all levels of government, here's Lou Epton.
All right, back we are. 9 before the top of the hour. Lou Epton, if you joined us late, our very special guest today, Jordan Maxwell. Together here at AM 1230 KLAV, 731-1230, area 702. Jordan, you're going to tell us the difference between theology and religion.
Well, theology and mythology.
Or mythology.
First of all, theology comes from the Greek word theos, meaning God, and ology is the study of. So theology is the study of God.
Okay.
Simple. And mythology comes from the word mythos in Greek, which simply means a story. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong or good or bad or true or false. It's just a story. Well, a lot of stories are true. And we get stories in the newspaper. We get stories everywhere. So mythology comes from mythos, meaning a story. Basically, theology is what you believe about God. And consequently, mythology is what your friend believes about God. Yeah. So, whatever it is you think is true, that's what the truth is. Uh-huh. Whatever your guy across the street, your friend across the street believes, that's mythology. He hasn't got the faintest idea what's going on.
The reason I started to feel religion is a good friend puts religion this way, re-Elijah.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. Re-Elijah, being realigned. Is there any connection there whatsoever? I mean,
The word actually religion comes from a Latin word religio, which means to bind down or tie back, which has been interpreted in different reference books to mean different things. One seems to feel that it means to bring back, tie you down and bring you back to the basics of God. But anytime you talk about tie down and bind back, it also seems to be restrictive, meaning that you can't go any further. This is what the belief is, and we don't want to hear anything new, and we don't want to hear any facts. This is the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. So I think you could probably look at it both ways, because the reference works seem to take that word religion, and it basically, as I said, means to bind down and tie back, whatever the implications of that is. But so many times people use terms in religion and government, and we don't even understand what the words mean. Nobody takes the time to actually sit down and make a scientific study of why words and terms are used. However, your audience, and you know as well as I do, how well concealed this insidious misuse of words and terms to trick people into believing things which are not true. I mean, Irwin Schiff explained it to you about
those
two things in this world that are absolutely definite, and that's death and taxes.
Yeah.
And Jesus said death wasn't definite, and Irwin Schiff will show you that taxes aren't definite. So, you know, I just think that the study of terms and words and ideas and where they've come from is really an explosive and controversial subject, because, my goodness, so many things we think we understand, we just don't have yet. You know?
Well, something is simple. I believe it's almost everywhere across the nation today. We went from laws to statutes. We went from statutes to revised statutes. I think most of us are aware of what the word revised implies.
Yeah.
And we are certainly aware of what statutes imply. Why are they revised?
Yeah, you don't revise a statue. You know, it's chiseled in stone.
No, we're talking law, statutes.
Well, yeah,
oh,
I
okay,
understand
but
that.
You're tying it.
Yeah,
to
so I'm just tying it into. Yeah, you know, what is this? The revised revision of the original revisions that were revised. You know,
something like that.
Yeah, like that. They keep revising it because what they're basically trying to do, what government tries to do, is to bind down and tie back and keep people under control. This is why when you see on police cars it says to protect and serve the public. The word public in law means government. This is why when you go into a court and you don't have the money for an attorney, you get a public defender. Public defender, the word public means government. Not you. You're not public. The word public in law means the government. So therefore you get a public defender. It's appointed by the government.
Right.
To protect the government from you. This is why the police are out there, to protect and serve the public, or to protect and serve the powers that be to make sure you don't get out of line.
Oh, boy.
You know, we need to look at words. We need to look at the terms.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. And again, as you point out, too few people, well, they're so busy, you know, doing so many other things.
Well, I know.
It's hard to get the time to even do it. We started out, and I want to get back to talking about the Men in Black.
Oh, yes.
Before we get totally off course, because I find that a fascinating topic. And now that I understand, based on what you said, Saturn is the black planet.
That's it. It also was referred to in Nazi Germany and in other places. Even the Nazis got the idea from an earlier civilization. The Sumerians called the planet Saturn the Black Sun. Mm-hmm. And as I said, the Gestapo was referred to when it first came into being as the Black Sun Order, the Order of the Black Sun. The Hindus know of the Black Sun. The Buddhists know of the Black Sun. There are many different ancient cultures that refer to and talk about the Black Sun. And researching each one, you find out they're talking about the planet Saturn. Now, why the planet Saturn? Actually, I'm not sure why the planet Saturn has come to know and mean what it does. But universally, this is the name of the tomb, that Saturn is the planet of the black side, the dark side.
Yeah, and I've got to believe the term Satan.
That's exactly right.
It comes from the planet Saturn.
That's it, the planet Saturn. And I think it has to do, and you had him on as a guest before, and I think it'd be good if you had him on again, is Dave Talbot. Because Dave Talbot wrote a book many years ago called The Saturnalian Myth, or The Saturn Myth, and it talked about how Saturn was probably, and most likely, very close to the Earth at one time and caused a lot of natural phenomena because it came too close to the Earth. Mm-hmm. That's at least a possibility, and I think has a lot of merit, that our solar system, as we know it today, most scientists and all of us pretty much feel that the whole solar system as we have it today has been around from day one, has always been there. You know, all the different planets have been there from forever. But in point of fact, that's not true. We now have scientific evidence to indicate that our planets in our solar system were not where they are today. And that they could have been our Earth could have been in a different orbit. Mars could have been much closer to us. Saturn could have passed between Mars and the Earth. We're talking about many, many, many thousands of years ago. But if that would have happened, and there seems to be a lot of scientific proof now that that did happen, there would have been great electrical discharges from one planet to another because there is a lot of electricity generated by the rotation of planets. And these great cuts in Mars, like on the surface of Mars, you'll see these jagged cuts. And our, what's the thing over, the Grand Canyon. Those kind of cuts in the Earth seem to, you know, we feel there's probably been water erosion, but no. We now know that the electrical cuts or those cuts in the surface of Mars were caused by great electrical discharges cutting through Mars, jumping out into space and hitting the Earth. As off the wall as that may sound,
yes,
there seems to be an awful lot of proof for that scientifically.
Well,
maybe that's where the planets got their dark side. You know, Mars is the god of war. Well, maybe there was a lot of destruction on the Earth if Mars came too close to the Earth, and a lot of people died, and a lot of terrible things happened to the Earth.
You don't think you're putting too much credence into the astrological portion of this?
Well, this is not what I was just talking about. Has nothing to do with astrology. It has to do with the science of astronomy.
Yeah.
However, yes, astrology, I believe, it's my personal belief, that astrology is taught, and of course I know this for a fact, that astrology is the basis for the Bible. And many people don't understand that, and the church has said that the astrology is evil and of the devil, and I believe the reason why the church has promoted this idea that astrology is evil, it's because of two reasons. One, misunderstanding And God knows we got misunderstanding and everything today.
Oh, yeah.
And also a desire to make sure that the people stay ignorant and ill-informed, and only the priesthood would be educated and knowledgeable, and therefore the people would be dependent on the church and the priest to tell them what the truth is, and they don't want the people to know the truth. We know government doesn't want you to know the truth. We know banks don't want you to know the real truth. But that's why we have programs like Lou Upton, because there are a few people who care about the truth. And I think that the real truth of the Bible is astrology. And I think I can make a very good case in a court where we have no prejudice or bigotry against the case. Just hear the evidence presented and give me a couple of hours and follow what I'm saying. And I think I can make a very good case if I'm not interrupted.
Well, okay. I don't know that we can give you a couple of hours. We don't have that much time left. We already have some folks on the phone, not necessarily to interrupt, but I'm sure they've got good questions and comments.
Oh, I'm sure. Let me give you a... let me give
before
you a
we quickie. Do anything, can I give us a timeout?
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry, but keep that thought.
You win.
Okay. That's because we control the controls.
Lou Upton
with... Excuse me, with Jordan Maxwell. We're together here at AM 1230 KLAB, coming your way from Las Vegas, Nevada, 7311230, and if you're far away, 702. Let's all hear the following.
Or check out our website at paynoincometax.com and let your income tax-free adventure begin.
Reporting what the mainstream media is afraid to expose, Lou Upton.
All right, back we are, 7 after the hour. Lou Upton along with Jordan Maxwell. He's our guest this morning, if you joined us late. We're coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV, Las Vegas. Our number is 731-1230, and if you're far away, it's 702. And you want to make a comment or two, and then we can go to the phones?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Jordan.
In the Bible, in Genesis 1:14, the Bible says that God created the lights of the firmament in the heavens. This is Genesis 1:14, and it says that God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let the lights in the heavens be for signs." S-I-G-N-S. Let them be for signs. You look it up in the Hebrew, and then the word signs is translated horoscope. Then in Genesis, the word actually signs is the Hebrew word oth, O-T-H. Horoscope or equals, I'm looking at reference books in Hebrew, O-T-H, oth means things to come, zodiac, meaning that God has put the stars there as signs, astrological signs. That's Hebrew. That's the Jewish Bible. That is Genesis, period. And consequently, we go from Genesis 1:14 to Genesis 16. Genesis 1:16 says that God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night.
Uh-huh.
And then it has an interesting sentence. It says, he made the stars also. Well, if in Genesis 1:14 it says that he made the lights, of the different lights at night to divide the day from the and the signs, the lights were to serve as signs, we know as horoscope or signs of the zodiac.
Uh-huh.
This is what the word means. Then we go to two scriptures down. It says he made the stars also, and you think, well, you just kept saying he made the stars. No, go back and look at it again. He made the stars also. You look up the word stars. And it is not the stars that we know of. It's the constellations. The correct translation says he made the constellations. And in the back of the Bible, in the reference work, it tells you the word stars in Genesis 1:16 is constellations of the zodiac. Consequently, we are told by Jesus, in my Father's house are many mansions. And for years, people thought, oh, well, that means there will be a mansion in heaven for me. No, go back and do your homework. It doesn't mean that at all. Go back and read it originally.
Yeah.
And in the King James, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we've heard that.
Yeah.
But the correct translation, the way it was actually written, is in my Father's abode are many houses. The abode of God is in the heavens. And yes, there's at least 12 houses in my father's abode, which is the heavens. So there are 12 houses of the zodiac in heaven. This is why when Jesus was asked by his 12 apostles at the Last Supper or the memorial on Niacin 14, where are you going to go when you leave here now that this is the Last Supper and you're going to leave the world? And where are we to see you? And he said, go into the city. This is in Luke 22:10. Luke 22:10 says, Jesus said, go into the city and you will see a man with a water pitcher. Go into the house of the man with the water pitcher. And in all the reference works, house of the man with water pitcher is always in capital letters. So you go back and read the footnotes and it says this is the sign of Aquarius. And the astrological sign of Aquarius is the man with the water pitcher, because everyone who has studied Semitic or ancient theology knows men never, ever, under any condition, ever carried water. That was a woman's job. Never would a man be caught dead carrying a pitcher of water. Women were always at the well, not men. Hmm. Consequently, why would Jesus say, go to the well, go to the city, and you will see a man carrying a pitcher of water? Go into the house of the man with the water pitcher. Look up the word house, and you will see it's a zodiacal term, the house of Aquarius. So I'm saying that, yes, it is true. When you understand how to read the Bible correctly, not the way that we think we understand it, then you will see that there is a whole story that has been hidden here for thousands of years, and especially in the last 400 or 500 years since we come up with the English Bible, because the English were very, very good with the King's English, but they didn't know beans about Hebrew.
But, you know, everybody will tell you that the Bible is subject to your interpretation.
Yeah, that's true, because you don't know anything to start with, so consequently, anything you read, you're going to put your own interpretation.
Have you ever discussed any of these things with priests, rabbis, ministers, and
what? Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, you kidding? That's one of my favorite pastimes. One of my best friends was a man named Rabbi Marvin S. Antleman, back in Newton, Massachusetts. And 35 years ago, Rabbi Antleman and I used to sit for hours on the phone and trade stories, and was a very good friend of mine. And at the time, he was the president of, I can't remember the name of the office, but it was the president of the American Rabbinical Association. He was a very, very high-ranking rabbi 35 years ago.
How about priests and ministers?
And priests, of course. I talked with Catholic priests. I used to talk to them all the time. I'd go downtown. I talked to the Freemasons. I talked to the Masonic Order.
How do they respond to what you're saying?
Yeah, I always got from the priest, the Catholic priest, a shrug shoulder. And they would say to me things like, well, so what? And I said, what do you mean, so what? And they said, well, okay, so you're right. Now, what are you saying? I said, well, I'm saying that you're not telling the people the whole truth. And they said, well, is anybody? No, actually, is anybody? Does the Federal Reserve tell you the whole truth? No. Did your mother tell you the whole truth? No. Then why should we tell you the whole truth?
Okay.
Come on, nobody tells you the truth. Why should we?
Okay, let's interrupt us for just a little bit here. I got to believe Todd is still patiently waiting, but we'll find out together. If not, why, we'll just go back and keep on talking. Todd, yeah. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Lou. Good morning, Lou and
Good
Jordan.
Good morning.
Jordan, it's always a pleasure to hear you on the radio.
Thank you, sir.
I got two quick questions for you. One is, your website ever going to get updated? I'm always checking that for new information, and I never seem to find any.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Because my webman is a brilliant guy, but he's so good, he's too busy for me.
So consequently,
I got all this great stuff I want to put out there on the web, and I got to wait for him, because I don't know beans about how to do it, and it's a very technical thing, putting new stuff on the web. So he's supposed to be coming tonight, but that's one of the big problems, is that putting new things on the web takes the genius of somebody that knows how to do it. And I don't have any help here. I just do what I do by myself.
I understand. I'll keep checking back.
Uh-huh.
My other question is, I remember reading a long time ago, and I can't remember where I read it, that the steeple on churches came from an ancient cult that worship phallic symbols and things like that. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is why all you've got to do is go to the library and look up the word phallic, and it has just reams of books on ancient phallic worship. I mean, it's everywhere. I talked about the fact that in Washington, D.C., you have the Washington Monument, which is an Egyptian obelisk, which itself is a steeple. It's the Washington Monument. And it is an Egyptian obelisk, and the Egyptian obelisk represented the male erection. And it connects to the female ovaries, or the oval office.
And so go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I was going to say, there's a huge amount of information on church steeples representing the male erection. I mean, that's the fact of life.
It always amazes me what people will, you know, worship and believe just because the church tells them without doing any checking
What about the Internal Revenue?
Exactly.
What about the Federal Reserve?
Exactly.
Yeah, what about
all of it?
Yeah, what about the government? Of course.
The government itself. Like I've heard you explain many times, maritime law and how our government's actually set up. And
yeah. But did they tell you? No, they didn't tell you. And you're never going to hear it, ever. Not in this world or the one to come, if you're waiting for our masters, the manipulators and the exploiters of our human family, to tell you what they're doing, then you've got a long wait. They're never going to tell you the truth, ever.
You got that right.
Well, that's the name of the tune.
Okay.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Todd. All right, Jordan, let's hold up and do a quick timeout.
Sure.
Lou Efton, Jordan Maxwell, just in case you joined us late. We're together here, coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV out of Las Vegas, Nevada. You want to get involved with any question or comment, we're easy to reach at 731-1230. Far away, 702. So now let's all hear the following. We've got a ways to go, and we'll do it. After the hour, hello again, Lou Efton, along with our very special guest of the morning, Jordan Maxwell. We're here, coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV in Las Vegas, 731-1230, and if you're far away, it's 702. Jordan, I've got to ask you something. It just dawns on me, all right, because we've gone over some of these subjects in the past. The Washington Monument, a phallic symbol, according to what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, church steeples. Phallic symbols, according to what you're saying, right?
Yes.
All right, look. The sexuality of this world has been around since, well, I got to believe even before we came along as the human, okay?
Well, nothing better has replaced it, no.
Okay. What's the big deal? I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, everybody is one or the other, although they're now trying to, you know, convert into thirds and fourths, and who knows.
But
there's
still
involved. Nothing new about it. Why is it such a major situation insofar as our statuary and our monuments and all of this?
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because I believe that our concepts and our understanding in the Western world, in the whole one half of the earth that is under the Judaic-Christian system of theology has a incorrect understanding of both theology, God, the Bible, government, taxes, and everything else. I think that we are an ill-informed and unread people. And it has been said many years ago that America is not an ignorant place. It is very well informed. The only problem is 90% of what we know isn't true. The problem is that we don't understand, and therefore I think also that we call down evil, as the Bible says. We call down evil upon things God has made, meaning that we attribute badness to the wrong things. I mean, we're told in the Bible that there would come a time when that which is good would be made to look bad, and that which is bad will be made to look good. There is a deception going on.
Oh.
Well, if that is true, and I assume that to be true, it's in the Bible, then most of what we consider to be right and politically correct and religiously correct must be wrong. Therefore, the things that we consider to be wrong and evil very well could be right. Now we start looking at things which we consider to be correct and lawfully correct, like income taxes. We find out, no, it's not only not lawfully correct, it's an insidious manipulation of our brain.
Yeah.
We have no idea in the world how much we've been lied to and deceived. So I'm merely pointing out different, and I could go on for hours, as you well know, about all kinds of words and terms and things that we have been deceived into believing. And,
all right, but now you narrowed it to the Western world. Are you suggesting for the moment that in other parts of the world they're not using, just as an example, phallic symbolism?
No. No, that's where it came from. Actually, all of these symbols came from the East. Like the ancient people said, the sun rises in the East. The light of the world comes from the East. And consequently, all of these symbols came out of the ancient East. Christianity, Judaism, the Bible, these are all from the Middle East, Near East, Far East. The East has given us all of this. We are merely the recipients of the light of the ancients. And so consequently, yeah, all of what we believe has come from the East. All I'm saying is that if you're concerned about being right and correct before God, then you had better go back and start reading and studying and understanding how much we don't know. You need to look at the laws about taxes and find out what the real story is. You need to understand where courts come from. Why do you have lawyers? What do these words mean? Why do we call it graduation? Why do you go to court? Why any of this? We need to examine words and terms and start educating ourselves to where things come from, because the Bible clearly says, and I think it's true, that the only way you're going to honor God or the divine in the universe is in spirit and truth, meaning your particular religious belief is not going to fly. You need to do some homework. You need to go back and find out, and this is true for Islam, it's true for Judaism, Christianity, and all the other religions of the world, all the concepts that we have in our land. We're just very ill-informed. And I think that's one of the major problems why we get in so much trouble, because we don't have leaders, we have misleaders.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We don't have chiefs, we have a lot of mischiefs. I mean, that's where the word came from.
Okay, well, before
well,
we go to...
consequently...
Yeah, go ahead.
I just think that it's an idea... an important idea at this particular time in the history of this country for people to slow down and back up and say, wait a minute, let's find out where we're going here. What do these words mean? What do these symbols mean?
It'll never happen, George.
Well,
by the way, you left out Buddhism.
Oh. Well, Buddhism, I think, is, I have a...
I mean, you mentioned Muslim, you mentioned Jewish, you mentioned Christianity, you forgot the Buddhists.
Oh, okay. Well, we'd better throw them in.
All right. Gloria's online, patiently waiting. Let's see what she wants to add to the program. Gloria, good morning. You're on with our guest, Jordan Maxwell.
Well, good morning, Lou, and good morning, Jordan.
Good morning.
I've talked to you on your own show, and Hakeem was on there about...
Oh, yeah.
The harbors under the Sphinx. To understand what the symbolism means, you have to go back to the book of Theity, whom they call Thoth. And in it he says that God is the all in all, and everything that exists exists in this being, and it has no extension, no space, no time. All that is created in it. But it gives first principles that there is gender in all things. And this doesn't mean just sex. It means that there is a masculine and a feminine side to everything.
Yes, yes.
And the masculine,
I tend to think you're right.
Yeah, the masculine side is mind. The feminine side is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the obelisk, being a phallic symbol, is masculine. It is the focusing, penetrating point of mind. And the primordial water is the reflection pool. It refers to the energy that this... penetrating point of mind focuses into and creates polarities.
Well,
they have the two genders, mind and energy.
Let me clarify why I do what I do, because I think this is a good time for it. I am trying, as Lou and other people have, to get individuals and people to start questioning everything. Question authority, question what you believe, question what you've been told, and of course this particular audience is painfully well aware of how much deception has gone on and is going on today all around us. And I'm merely saying, extend that inquisitiveness as to find out what things mean. Let's take it all the way up to God. Let's go all the way back into the ancient times and start researching and finding out what words meant, terms meant, because if there is any truth in Christianity or the Bible, and if there's any value and truth in it, that we need to get ourselves straight with the divine, then I would suggest the first place you might want to start is start reading it right. Go back and read the thing correctly.
I mean, I believe the Christian church has just grabbed the old Amen doctrine, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah,
and
well,
even
I
Jesus
know.
Refers to God as the great Amen.
You know, we hear a lot about the New Age. And this is a subject very big with me. We're told that anything that smacks of the New Age is of the devil and evil. In point of fact, correctly understood in the Bible, the whole idea of the New Age is from the Bible. That's where the idea came from. That's where it germinated from, is from the Bible. And when you go back and you start looking at scriptures and start looking up the words, everywhere in the New Testament especially is the term end of the world. And in Matthew 28:20, it says, the last scripture says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, Jesus said, I am with you even to the end of the world. Then you go to the reference work and look up world, and you will see it's a Greek word, aeon, meaning age. And all the reference works, if you go to a Bible seminary and look up the words in the seminary library, in all the reference works, look up world, it will tell you it's a Greek word meaning age. Therefore, we're talking about the old age and the coming new age.
On that, I got to hold you, Jordan. I'm sorry. Put it off. Get to that phone now. Call 877-888-5192.
The only one of his kind, telling it like he sees it, Lou Epton.
All right, back we are. 26 minutes to go in the program this morning. Lou Epton, our very special guest, if you joined us late, Jordan Maxwell. Coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV out of Las Vegas. You reach us at 731-1230, and if you're far away, 702. Jordan, we are back, and Gloria has left us, and you were looking to complete your comments regarding her questions. And if
well, I don't even remember what it was, because I got so many other things running through my mind right now. One thing I want to, let's go on to this. In Genesis 1-2, the Bible says in Genesis 1-2, first of all, we go to 1-1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that's not what it says in Hebrew. So you better go back and do your research on that and find out it does not say in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And second, it says, and the earth was without form and void. That's not what it says in Hebrew.
What does it
that's
say
the way
in
it
Hebrew?
It says it in English. And as I said, the King James Translating Committee were great when it came to the King's English. They didn't know that much about Hebrew.
Okay.
But if you go back and start doing the research on and you would be surprised how many reference works there are in any good theological library, any good theological library, and go to these seminaries, and they have huge libraries, and start looking up reference works on these words, and you will find it's a whole different understanding than what we've been told. Well, the same thing in taxes. I mean, the same thing in virtually every facet of our life.
Unfortunately.
It's different than what you thought it was.
Yeah. What does it say then?
Well, it's interesting. First of all, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the Hebrew, it says, in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And Elohim has been mistranslated by the English to say God. No, it doesn't say God. It says Elohim. And in Hebrew, Elohim means, quote, the gods, plural, end quote. So consequently,
really?
Right off the bat, Genesis 1:1 is now creating a problem, because the real Hebrew says, in the beginning, the gods created the heavens and the earth. Not God, the gods. And consequently,
Genesis
1:2.
But the Bible also says, you shall hold no god before me.
And, well, yeah. See, he didn't say that there was no other gods. He said, don't have any other gods before me. Now, after me, I don't care what you do, but out of all of the different gods, I want you to keep me up there first. I'm running for president. It doesn't mean that there aren't others, but I'm going to be the head one.
Okay.
And other nations said, no, we like this one instead of you. So they said, okay, so those were pagan gods. The word pagan simply was a Latin word. When we hear that bandied around all the time, that this people are pagan people, the word pagan simply means people of the like farmers, people of the earth. Because when Christianity came into vogue in the Roman Empire with the conversion of Constantine, all of a sudden it became the politically correct thing to do to become a Christian, because the emperor is now Christian and all of the emperor's men are all Christian. So now it has become rather popular to become a Christian. We don't know what it means. We haven't got the faintest idea. All we know is that at the parties and cocktail parties, they're all Christians, so we go with the flow, and so therefore anyone who isn't in the scheme of things here in Rome,
uh-huh,
and a Christian is a pagan, or meaning that the poor working class people out there in the country, they're not elites like us in Washington, D.C. They're not very well educated like we are. And so consequently, they don't realize that the new thing on the block is to be a Christian, because Caesar is now a Christian. Therefore, the poor working class people out there, which is a Latin word meaning pagan, a Latin word called pagan.
Does Pat Robertson know this?
No, Pat Robertson really doesn't know much of anything, period. Billy Graham doesn't. And I'm just amazed at how many so-called religious leaders in this country are on the payroll.
Yeah.
And all they do is collect money and go out and have tea with the president. I think we really need to look at this whole religious establishment and start figuring out that we have offended the universe. We've offended God. We've offended the spirit. We've offended anything that is holy, because these people are not only not telling you the truth, I don't even think they know the truth, because the scripture says that in these days in which we're living, the blind would lead the blind, and we're all falling in the pit. I'm saying the same thing is true for taxes, government, and everything else. We're being led by blind guys who just go along to get along and tell us to go along to get along, and somewhere along the line, Americans are going to have to stand up and say, no more, we're not following anybody. We do our own homework and start standing up for what's right.
All right. Now, we've covered Genesis 1.
Yeah. Let's go to Genesis 1:2, though. It says, and the earth was without form and void. That's not what it says in Hebrew. What it says in the actual original, the earth was without form and void, is the earth became a waste and a desolation. The earth became a waste and a desolation. It doesn't say that it was formed without form and void. And over in Jeremiah, it says, I beheld, in Jeremiah 4:23, he uses the same exact term. This is what Rabbi Antelman pointed out to me 35 years ago. In Jeremiah 4:23, it says, and Jeremiah says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Then you look in the Hebrew, and it says, I beheld the earth, and it became a waste and a desolation.
Mm.
And consequently, what the Bible is actually saying is that the earth has been destroyed many times in the past, and at the time of the creation of Adam and Eve, there are already many, many civilizations that have been here for thousands and thousands of years before, and therefore the creation of Adam and Eve was a new, doing it over again. Every now and then, God decides, the universe decides that they've had enough of the earth, and the whole thing is wiped out by some natural catastrophe, and then God has to start all over again. That's what the Bible is saying.
Mm.
This is why Rabbi Antelman pointed out to me many years ago that the Bible doesn't say God created man. Go back and it says that God recreated man. Come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. What are you talking about? It doesn't say he made man. It says, come, let us make man after our likeness and our image, meaning that man's already here. It's an exciting story. That's why I'm saying the Bible is absolutely astoundingly important and brilliant in what it's saying, and it's just open to all kinds of interesting subjects. We just don't do a whole lot of homework in Bible or government or taxes or anything else.
All right.
So the whole purpose of what I do is just to incite people to start questioning everything. That's the basis for what I do.
All right. We have some people. They may have some questions. Let's find out. Mike has been waiting the longest. Let's see what's on his mind. Mike, good morning. You're on with Jordan Maxwell.
Well, you know I question a lot of things, Lou.
I know.
Anyway, I wanted to bring up two of my favorites to him and see what his thinking was on it. I've always been interested in words and their derivations and how they get sophisticated, if you were it. That's one of my favorites is sophistry, that which appears to be and is not. Being sophisticated now is supposed to be something positive, whereas it's actually appearing to be that which it's not.
I like that.
And the one that I wanted to bring up the most to you was Gnostic means knowing, and everybody mispronounces the word agnostic, which means not knowing,
mm-hmm.
as agnostic.
Yes.
I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, the letter A seems to be in the Greek, when the letter A is put in front of a word in the Greek, the idea being is that it goes in the opposite direction. And the word gnosis in Greek means to know something. And the implication of the word gnosis means that I don't care what you say about this or that. I don't care what you think about this person or that person. I know them. I already know.
Right, and that is the basis for the Gnostics, and that was about the time when you're talking about where the translations get blurred and some of the other things where they had literal meanings, and those meanings have been lost or glossed over and redone and translated.
Well, let me explain to the audience Gnosis.
I'll go ahead and get off and listen to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for being there, though, Mike.
Thank you, Jordan.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. There are those times, and it happens all the time in all of our lives, when you'll hear somebody pontificating about a subject or about a person or about something. You'll hear somebody on the radio talking about how we've got to pay our taxes and the country depends on our income taxes. But people like Irwin Schiff can sit there and intelligently explain to you, this is a bunch of bull. Go back and do your homework. And then you find out that the whole thing was a misunderstanding. Well, the same thing is true in everything in life. You can hear different stories, but in your gut you know certain things because of your own experiences in life, because of your research, because of your study of a subject, you know, not think or believe, but you know certain things. And as I said, maybe somebody tells you about a friend of yours and says, well, I've heard this and this and that about him. And you say, look, I know the person personally. Have you ever met him? No. Well, I know him, and that is not true. I know him. The whole idea is Gnostic or Gnosis in Greek means to actually know something for sure as opposed to what everybody else thinks or believes. Well, we all do that. You say, well, of course the Christians believe this, but I know that that's not true in my heart. Or the Islamics teach this or that, but I know that that's not true, or I know this and that. So the idea being Gnostic means to know as opposed to what everybody else might believe. Therefore, putting an A in front of a word in the Greek language implied it's going backwards. So consequently, if Gnostic is to know something in your heart and know something is true, the word agnostic means I'm not sure, I don't know. It doesn't mean that agnostics are not. In theological terms, an agnostic is not an atheist. A theist is one who believes in God. An atheist, there it is again, the atheist means there is no God.
All right, now I got one for you that I'd like to have a pretty good description of. It's a fairly common word, as a matter of fact, Jordan. What do you have to say about the term amen?
Now, amen
I couldn't resist.
Is not Greek. So consequently, the A is not important here in that way. Amen was the name of the sun in the ancient Egyptian. The Egyptians called the sun, one of the names of the sun, a very prominent name in the, for the sun in Egypt, was Amen-Re, from which we get our word Ra, or Ray, sun ray, Ra, which gives us hoorah, hooray. The whole idea that the sun was a ray, or Amen-Re. And the Egyptians, when they would worship the sun at the end of their prayers, because the Egyptians even said, and the ancient, all of the ancient peoples worshiped the sun in one way or another, all of them said, and our reference works would tell you, none of these ancient cultures believed the sun was God. They knew that God was a divine presence in the universe that no one could understand or know, but that his offspring, his boy, his offspring, which represented him, was what we call the sun. This is why when you have a boy, he is your son. He's the offspring. So therefore, whatever you do to my son, you've done to me. Whatever you do to my, you know, my offspring, you've done it to me. Therefore, the ancient Egyptians said that no one can see God, but we can see his offspring, his son. And his son's name was Amun-Re, or Amen-Ra. Therefore, when you pray to God, you pray to God, the Father, but you send the prayers through his son. His son will talk to him, not you. So therefore, you send the prayers through his son, and his name was Amen-Re. So therefore, you send God the Father a prayer through his son, and you say Amen. So consequently, when Christians say Amen to a prayer, that's an Egyptian sun worship, or it's Egyptian sun term.
Interesting. All right, we got to do that one last time out. Let us do it and get it behind us. Again, Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell is our guest. We're coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV in Las Vegas, 731-1230. If you're far away, it's 702. Let's hear the following, and we'll come right back.
At 3230 East Flamingo Road, number 8, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89121.
Inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame with outstanding performance, it's Lou Epton.
All right, back for the final portion, 8 minutes to go. Lou Epton with Jordan Maxwell this morning here at AM 1230 KLAV. And, Jordan, before we go back to the phones, we do have people waiting. Is there some comments you would care to make while we still have time?
Very quickly, the word in Genesis 9:1, we come across something interesting. Genesis 9:1 in the Bible says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, quote, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, end quote. And so I've asked the rabbis, I've gone to the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies and sat there days on end going through the Hebrew reference works on words and terms. And everywhere I look, the word replenish is correct. It's a correct term. It was correctly translated where God said to Noah after the flood of Noah's day, he says to his, Noah and his sons, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And so I asked the rabbis, When are we talking about replenish? Re means do again. Yes. Then they tell me, the rabbi said, well, go back to Genesis 1:28. And it says, and God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Do it again. Replenish means do again. Why? Well, look at, in Genesis 4:14 and 15, we're told that Cain kills his brother Abel.
Yeah.
And God is throwing him out of the paradise situation that they were in. And here's what Cain said to God in Genesis 4:14 and 15. He says, quote, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto Cain, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest anyone out there should find him and kill him. End quote. And I'm saying, wait a minute. If Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel are the only four people on the earth, and Cain kills his brother. Now there's only three. And
right.
God says, because you killed your brother, I'm putting you out. And Cain says to God, don't put me out there, because everybody out there, what they find me, they're going to kill me.
Uh-huh.
And now he's got God believing there's somebody out there, because God says, no, I'm not going to let them kill you. I'll put a mark on you so if they find you, they won't kill you. My question is, who are they?
My question is, who did he marry? Well, think about it.
Well, I know. And it says he was sent out into the land of Nod, in which he found his wife. And I'm saying, wait a minute, he found a wife out there?
Yeah.
Well, where was Nod? I don't know.
All right. You know, I wish right now we either had hours to go, which we don't, or I could get you over here and we could get several hundred people together, because we're only skimming the surface when we start speaking of translations and the real meaning of various terms and symbols.
Lou, I'll tell you, I would love that, because there are so many things that are profoundly important that we have not been told. I mean, Irwin Schiff is just one classic example of one man who has, quote, done his homework.
Absolutely.
Once you start doing your study and research, you will find that the subjects which you have never been told about that exist in the Bible and in life, you've never been told the real story about the profoundness of the life we live. Things which are happening all around us in the world, you've never been told.
Yeah.
I love doing that. I'd love to come over and stay. I just got back from Philadelphia, where I did 8 hours on a sitting. I just sat in front of an audience for 8 hours with breaks and just talked about stuff that no one's ever heard of before.
Well,
I would love to do that.
Let's see if we can arrange something. If we've got any listeners out there that are in agreement, my voicemail, 593-3270, here in the Southern Nevada area. Let's take one quick call while we still have time. Let's go and see what Bert would like to add to the program. Bert, are you there? And if so, go for it.
Yeah, just a quick question. Has Jordan ever studied the Mormon doctrine? And if so, what he thinks of it?
What a subject to speak on for 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
Profound stuff in Mormonism. I would like to do a whole hour just on that one subject of the occult connections between the Mormon Church and Freemasonry and the Masonic connections with the ancient Babylonian, Phenician, Canaanite system. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
Their structures are all but identical, aren't they?
Well,
I mean, compared to the Masonic structure and the Mormon structure, it's when you get to the very top of that pyramid, the things you're going to find out could be very unnerving.
Well, it's even equally as unnerving to the Seventh-day Adventists, Christadelphians, especially Jehovah's Witnesses.
Huh.
There is a very Masonic order, but most unhappily, most Jehovah's Witnesses do not know of the Freemasonic connection and where the money came from for Charles Taze Russell. We need to do some homework, folks.
We need to get you back on these airwaves in the very near future. Better than that, we need to get you here in our community. We can really spend some time.
Lou, you and I have done it many times privately. I'd love to do it all day on a seminar.
Some of the most fascinating periods of my existence, and I'm not just saying that. I truly mean it. Things I would have never thought of, things like most of us that I have taken for granted, I find out have very profound meanings. The symbolism that exists throughout our society, where it came from, and on, I don't even know why I'm so interested. Maybe it's because someday I'd really like to know the truth. As strange as that may be. Jordan Maxwell, we thank you sincerely for spending the time with us. We will pursue the idea of getting you over here and doing a seminar. I think it would be extremely well attended, but let's find out for sure. In the meantime, you take care. We'll talk again soon, and sincerely, thank you very much.
Goodbye, my friend.
And take care. Let me take a moment. I want to thank Lou Hawk, our producer. He screens the calls, runs the board, and makes snide remarks off the air. Mostly, and as always, I want to thank each and every one of you out there for taking the time spending it with us. Lou Epton here. Hey, have as good of a day as you can, won't you? And join us. We're coming back tomorrow morning, same time, same place. And tomorrow morning, we're going to be hearing things you haven't heard that have been going on at the Republican National Convention. Our very special guest, I understand, will be Carl Limbacher. So make a note.